Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim has been a world traveler to the Pro Bowl, to the Super Bowl, and now he gets to join us this morning. Jimmy, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm good. This is a trifecta here, hitting the trifecta, being on with you guys here up that three-peat.
That's right. Definitely comparable to the other two. How was Orlando? How was the Super Bowl trip for you?
It was good. You know, the Pro Bowl game, what it was turned out to be, is not much of a game anymore. It's turned into a flag football game on Sunday, which, you know, I guess still draws a crowd. But, you know, I don't really go necessarily for the game as much as you go for the availability during the week. So it was a great – it was a good for that from that standpoint. I got to talk to Derrick Henry down there and got to talk to Peyton Manning about Derrick Henry and about Brian Callahan and Will Levis, and, you know, track down Jamar Chase and track down, you know, some of the Ravens to talk about the Titans' new defensive coordinator, R. Wilson, and talk to Evan Engram about Nick Holt's offensive coordinator. So the access was good there. Super Bowl is just a flurry, you know, the way that week goes. But Vegas did it right, I have to say. It was, I thought, the week from a logistic standpoint, from, you know, just a Super Bowl, putting on the Super Bowl standpoint, is one of the best ones I've ever been to.
All right, before we get in the Titans, Jimmy, I got two questions for you. One, it might be two or three, who knows. One, is it true you got to see U2 for free at Sphere? What did you think of the show? And two, do you still support Jerry Stackhouse as Vanderbilt men's basketball coach? There you go. Put you on the spot, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, I did get to go. It was quite a deal. That's, you know, you don't get a lot of spare time out there because there's a lot of events going on at night and a lot of work. But if there was one thing that I wanted to do, was to see you two in the Sphere. And I saw my man George Walker at check-in on Friday and talked to him and said, hey, what are you doing? And he goes, well, let me get stuff set up. You know, we'll figure out what to do. And then the next person I saw was Chili Pepper. I don't know if you know who Chili Pepper is, Titans super fan.
Yeah.
From Mexico. So the next person I saw was Chili Pepper as I was walking out the door, and I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to the U2 concert. I said, are you really? And he said, yeah. I go, so you got your extra tickets? And he kind of chuckled and said, no, I've got three, me and my wife and Nate Bain, who's with Titans social media. They were all going. Well, at the last minute, Nate couldn't go. So I got a call 6:30, show starts at 8, and said, hey, I got a ticket to you too. And so I got showered. I got showered real quick and went back up, showered, made a bolt down the strip to get to the Sphere from where I was staying in Mandalay Bay, and about a 2-hour kind of walk, half jog, and made it in time for a free concert. It was spectacular.
Oh, that's awesome. Good stuff there. So, Jim, what have been your impressions of Brian Callahan and the staff that he's put together to this point?
Yeah, and I'm glad I didn't have time to answer that Jerry stuff.
Yeah, how do you let him off the hook like that? I forgot. Sorry.
Well, I'm winning, but I will say, I'm as, you know, look at the gym and look at the results and look at how little interest there is in Vanderbilt basketball right now. And with all of that, I just can't, you know, something's got to change. And I've been around long enough to know what it's like when Vanderbilt has a good basketball program and they compete. And right now that's not the case. And I don't know how much longer you can keep going down this road with so little results. So that's all I'll say about that. As far as Brian Callahan, I think he's put together a really good staff. I mean, and it's hard to do because I've seen a lot of head coaches coming here and they've got great plans of who they're going to bring in. And a lot of times that doesn't work out because, you know, a team won't let a coach go to another team. You know, guys got another offer. But I think the way this played out, you know, got a defensive coordinator, R. Wilson, who was sought after by a lot of teams. Nick Holt's a guy who he's got a lot of familiarity with. Heard a lot of good things about him, not only from Evan Engram. I told you about the Pro Bowl, but I talked to Trevor Lawrence about him at Super Bowl. He had a lot of good things to say about him. And then, you know, I think the home run of his assistant coaches was his father, Bill Callahan, who not a lot of people thought would be in a position to leave and join his father. So I think they got two good coordinators, and obviously Brian's going to call the play, so the dynamics there are kind of to be determined. But a position that definitely needs to be upgraded. Has got a great chance to do that and bring in one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, on that, Jim, this is a conversation we've had, you know, recently, which I'd love to get your thoughts on. You know, Bill Callahan, obviously as respected as any position coach probably in the NFL, has been doing it at a high level for a long time. So do you look at that as the Titans could get away maybe with, you know, nickel and diming a little bit more on the offensive line, or, you know, the coach him up factor can make, you know, so-so players good players? Or is it like, well, when you have a coach that good, then, you know, give him the best talent and think of what you could have? How do you view that?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. And I actually see somebody else have that theory as well and didn't know that I necessarily bought. I mean, obviously when Mike Munchak was the offensive line coach around here, they ended up having guys like Eugene Amano or Justin Hartwig or, you know, later round offensive linemen that developed and turned into starters under his watch. And part of it was because of his coaching, but part of it was because I think they found some gems late in the draft that they felt like they could develop. So part of that was good scouting. Part of it was good coaching. But I think with the situation the Titans have been in, and certainly the complete overhaul that you feel like is getting ready to take place, I think you've got to get good players. Now, does that have to be at number 7 in the draft? I don't know. I mean, I think obviously free agency comes first. And if you are able to find someone you like in free agency, a couple of guys you like in free agency, maybe that takes the pressure off of what you do in the draft at going toward that position. But I think you got to get good players. And obviously Bill Callahan's going to coach them up with the best of them. But I don't think you want to, get them a couple of Pintos and try to turn them into a Ferrari. I think you got to get them some good players to work with and start establishing a culture and a line that you're not taking a chance on guys as much as you're picking them and banking on them being your guy for years and years to come.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Jim, you know, obviously a lot of the story for next season is going to be written by the decisions that are made this offseason and free agency in the draft. Purely from a Will Levis standpoint, as you watched him play this past season and you look ahead to year two, what are some areas that you think he needs to improve on? What do you think that next step looks like for Will Levis?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with kind of what we talked about. I mean, they got to be better around him, and that's nothing that he can control. It's just he's got to have faith that that's going to happen. And I think based on the interaction he's had with Brian Callahan and based on, you know, what we've heard about them trying to build the team around him, I think he should feel good about that. Now, he obviously has to improve in a number of areas himself. I mean, he has proven that he's got a strong arm, and he's proven he's gutsy, and he's proven he's a guy that can be a good leader, but he's also got to be, you know, he's got to make the easier throws, and he's got to be smart with his decision making and not, you know, try to hit the home run every time. You know, he's got to have maybe more touch on some balls closer to the line of scrimmage. That I know all that comes in time, and I think you have to be encouraged or optimistic about him, knowing that for the first time in a long time he's going to be healthy. That's one of the things when I talked to him in Vegas. He said he's healthy for the first time in 25-26 months because he's, you know, he was dealing with stuff from the very beginning of the season. And this offseason was one where he made the rounds for, you know, he had his pro day, he made the pre-draft visits, he had to get geared up for the draft. He just never really was able to focus on himself and the offense, and now he's got an offseason to do that. So a huge offseason for him to develop, to get comfortable, familiar with the new playbook, and then get, you know, get on the same page with the guys around him that will come here in free agency in the draft.
So, Jimmy, free agency, as you said, you know, that's first, then the draft. We're already going through the mock drafts. But in free agency, assuming, you know, the Titans aren't going to find their future left tackle in free agency, I mean, I assume that has to be a prominent spot somewhere high in one of those early picks. What do you see out there that you like, or that what you would call a priority? I mean, there's some receivers out there. They certainly need help at cornerback. Anyone really jump out at you?
Yeah, and I have to be honest with you, I have to be careful about naming particular players before it starts, since I work for the team. I mean, I get reminded of that.
I'm just trying to get you in trouble in so many ways on this segment, man. Let's talk about Juwan Jennings.
I mean, yeah, Juwan Jennings had a Super Bowl, I'll tell you that. But he's a tough kid. I do think the receiver position is one that you have got to address, and I think you're more likely to have, you know, quicker success by getting someone in free agency than the draft. I think we've seen that here, and that's been the case a lot of places as well. So I think receivers one, I think cornerback, secondary is another. I think, you know, yeah, maybe you're not going to get your starting left tackle in free agency, but I still think you can identify players up front that can be potential starters for you. And we saw this team try to do that last year with different levels of success. I thought Daniel Brunskill, you know, fit the culture and was a tough player and pretty solid. Obviously, Andre Dillard, you know, didn't work out. So I think you got to find the right guys there. And then, yeah, I think you can never feel like you're good enough, you know, on the defensive line either. I think you still try to identify players there as well.
Well, Jim, really appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. Welcome back to town. Hope you've been able to decompress a little bit, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Y'all have a good day.
Absolutely. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, react to what Jim had to say there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Appreciate Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com for being with us in the last segment there.
Really?
All over him.
Yeah, well, you know, good for him for going free to a concert that cost me a mortgage payment. It's really awesome. Did you get the sense that when I asked him about it, he was like, you know, didn't want Titans to know that he was out at a concert? Like, yeah, busy with a lot of events.
A lot of work going on out there.
Because Dennis here says that complaining about Stackhouse golfing the way he dresses is Twitter's cracking me up this morning. What's wrong with people? Imagine how much better their content would be if guys like Rexford and Wyatt would be typing away at the keyboard instead of going to rock and roll concerts. Be more committed, guys. It's true. People should never have
do more
free
work.
Time. People should never have free time. Exactly.
Agreed.
Just absolutely be just grind film all the time. Just
type, I hope type, Josh Heupel, as we're sitting here right now, is watching film. I hope he's watching film on Florida to make sure that never happens again.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything about your kids or, you know, you on the golf course. Yeah, you need to be, or like, I don't know, talking to Nico or whatever, or contributing another angry letter to the lawsuit, something.
That would be working.
Yeah.
Was Josh Heupel the one that hanged the Tennessee banner outside the NCAA courthouse? Guys, you go in, and I'll be outside on the side of hanging off the crane over there holding the banner. That's what I'll do.
I hope so.
The lift. That's the word I was looking
I would
for.
Feel mu- yeah, yeah, yeah. I got you. I would feel much better about things if that was him. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
That should come soon at some point.
Yeah. On the Titans front, so TD and I were talking about this yesterday, and we brought this up with you last week, the Brandon Ayuk part of this. TD's doing it. He says if Ayuk becomes available, that if he's the Titans, he's throwing his name in the hat. He feels good about Ayuk being a number one wide receiver and that he could beat man coverage. And, you know, you're going to have to pay a receiver at some point. And didn't love the idea of giving up a ton of draft capital for it, and trying to determine what the price would be for him is pretty interesting. Obviously, like, if I'm the Titans, I'm not giving up 7 overall in any deal involving Brandon Ayuk. So that would be a no-go for me. But if it cost you this year's 2nd and like a 4th next year, would you do that? We threw out the idea of 2 second-round picks. Would you do that if you're the Titans at this point? You know, I said it last week. You need elite players. Like, this roster right now is devoid of elite players. There's very few on the roster. And you got to find a way to get them. And that's why even, like, the idea of trading back from number 7, while I understand trying to collect more picks, you need elite players, and you can get an elite player at number 7. So what do you make of the Ayuk part of this? We'll see how it goes down in San Francisco. What would you be willing to give up for a guy like that?
Well, I'm definitely with you on not 7. Yeah, I mean, I'd think about some of those other combinations you guys talked about. I'm not totally sold on it. I think he's really good, no doubt about it. You know, am I too hesitant with him because of everything around him? I mean, it's always a great argument in this league, you know. These loaded rosters, like, how much does it help a particular person? Corey Davis is a good example here. And maybe, you know, I mean, there's still people like, Corey Davis, 1,000-yard receiver for the Titans. What do you want, right? Yeah. And then he went to the Jets, and, you know, you kind of saw the reality. Like, he's a decent receiver, but he had a 1,000-yard season here. He played well. He was healthy. Good for him. He got paid because of it. Good for him. But it was very much benefiting from what's around him. I'm not comparing him to Brandon Ayuk at all. Don't get me wrong, because I think he's a great player. You know, but it's still also the whole, okay, and now you're paying that much to a guy, you know, whereas if you could draft somebody, that would be ideal, you know. But, hey, you can't draft everything. You're not going to draft everything to even come close to fixing your issues if you're the Titans. So you've got to spend on somebody.
Well, I said this yesterday, you know, going back to the elite player conversation. And Will Levis, like, you got to start to figure out what exactly he is. And in an ideal world, you want to know by the end of his 3rd year whether or not he's the guy. Think about how much your offense changes if you're able to pull off a trade for Brandon Ayuk or somebody else that's a top-flight wide receiver, and you pair him with Hopkins, and then you take Joe Alt at 7. Like, think about just with those two moves, how much different your offense is. Beyond just the, you know, Brian Callahan coming in and calling plays, yeah, and the new scheme, all those things. But just those two moves, if you can get via trade a top-flight wide receiver that comes in here and take Joe Alt at number 7.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally transforms the offense.
It's a big change, no doubt, no doubt. Ron asks, what positions are plentiful to draft so we can wait to get later? Well, that's the thing, too, is the one position that I think everybody is talking about as ridiculously deep in this draft is receiver. Like, much better receiver draft than last year. You're talking about guys who are going to go certainly well into the 2nd and maybe in the 3rd who are, you know, immediate starter-level players, and a lot of different types of receivers, but it's a very deep receiver draft. So that's where, yeah, Alt, and then, like you said, what if you're able to get someone, a veteran who's really good, and then also then can you get a receiver in the 2nd round, and you're even more transforming. At some point you need to address defense, but, yeah, hey, we're mostly talk about offense. So that is the priority. That's the issue. But that would be – that's why – now, you know, there's also a lot of offensive tackles in the draft, but it's like how much of a drop-off from, like, the top 2 are we talking,
exactly,
about here? You know, I think there's also a tier of receivers that's the top 3, it seems, right?
Yep.
Like, and these are all guys who
– I would even say there's 1, and then there's 2 more,
yeah,
and then you go on from there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, Harrison 1, and then Neighbors and Adunze right after that.
Yeah. And I buy into that. I think he's clearly the best. But I tell you what, both those guys,
they're really good,
very good. But then after that, you got a lot of other guys like Gatt and Worthy and Keon Coleman. I mean, there's a lot of potential there at that position.
Cameron on the text line says, Ayuk is not a number one receiver. That's the kind of bleep the Titans have done for years. Take someone else's number two or three receiver and pay him number one money and suck for three more years. This is from Cameron on the text
line. I think Cameron's a little tough on Ayuk there. Again, I said this last week, if you just gave me the same exact conditions, pay, and all that stuff, I would take Deebo Samuel over Brandon Ayuk. That's me. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, he's definitely underrated, I think, you know, in that offense because there's just bigger stars there. He's really good, man.
Well, I mean, really,
he's not a three. He's not a 2/3, okay? No, he is not a 2/3.
An elite number one? No, probably not. Is he good enough to be a number one wide receiver in the league? I think so.
Yeah.
Like, is he Justin Jefferson? No. But, I mean, the last 2 years, in 22, he had 78 catches for 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Last year, 75 catches for 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns, an average 18 a catch. And he does beat man coverage. Now, again, I totally understand what happens if he's on an offense that doesn't have a great offensive line and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel? Again, that's a valid question. And that's something – that's where you lean on Rand Carthon, who has been around the guy, to figure that out.
No doubt. Well, and also there's always the other side of that, which is when there's so many other good players, you may not have the same production.
Yeah.
Right? When Deebo Samuel, you got to get him the ball a certain amount, and Kittle, McCaffrey, well, maybe in another offense you would get the ball more and you'd really have eye-popping numbers. I mean, 18 a catch is nothing to sneeze at.
Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to win tickets and Preds Pick to Click to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. We'll do that here in about 18, 19 minutes or so here on the program. Looking forward to that. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, free agency, the draft, everything on the table. We'll also get back into the Predators as well. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Wes in Clarksville on the text line says, I heard they want to draft a tackle so we can have a tackle for 10 to 15 years. We're lucky to keep players 5 years. This is from Wes from Clarksville. That has certainly been the case with too many first-round picks lately.
Yes.
If you're taking Joe Alt, if you're taking Fashanu, whoever it is, as a tackle high in the draft, I mean, you better know that those are the guys that are going to be foundational players for you on the left side. Hey, look, everything I hear about Joe Alt from all the draft experts and gurus and all these things is he's plug and play and could be a starting left tackle in the league for 10 years. So, I mean, you never know, but if they drafted Joe Alt, I'd feel pretty good about the availability and how good he is immediately to start.
Yeah, you got to have more guys for sure that you are compelled to give second deals to. But like I said to Wes on the text line, Lawan, 9 years, right?
Yep.
And it would have been a little longer, but injuries hit him, and injuries are the number one reason why careers are shorter than you hope. But that's the idea. A left tackle, there's no question when you get to the second deal, you're going to give that left tackle that second deal. You want more players like that. Now, if you draft too well, then you sit there and you're like, well, Skoronski's up, and is Skoronski that amazing that you got to extend him, and now you're going to extend Joe Alt, and that's a problem you'd like to have.
I got a texter that says, I've lived here for 12 years after moving here from Chicago before finally going to a Titans game because they were such perennial losers, I assume referring to the Bears. I began to like them because of Henry and Vrabel. Now they've got Carthon and Callahoo. Are you kidding me? Lean on Carthon. The guy who shopped Henry last year as soon as he arrived. The guy who drafted a guard and Levis got rid of a local hero. Ha ha! This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Is this Jared? Is this Jared Burner? Sounds like a Jared Burner.
It does kind of sound like a Jared Burner.
Trying to fake us out with the Bears thing.
Yeah. I guess so.
Callahoo. I like that.
By Callahoo. Leaning on, I would, when I brought up leaning on Carthon, it was to the point of he has been around Brandon Ayuk for a substantial period of time and should know kind of how the guy's wired and made up and all those things.
Yeah.
That's
also,
what you lean on.
Like,
and he's a general manager.
He's a GM and been here a year.
Yeah.
Decent first draft. I mean, yeah. That's the GM. Well, that's who you lean on.
As TD said yesterday, we're going to find out. We're getting ready to find out about Rackarthon, right? Like, it's fair as we get through this offseason and we start to evaluate whatever free agent decisions he makes and the draft, of course, we know who it's all on now. Like, it's all on him. And it's the evaluation of Rackarthon certainly starts now. Like, this is a crucial offseason, not only for him, but really for the direction of the franchise and where things are going from here, and you know, the ability to field a competitive team around Will Levis while he's on a rookie deal and try to determine whether or not he's the next guy. But the evaluation of Rackarthon starts now. There's no question about that.
No doubt. And just for the record, Jared Berner, the guy who shopped Henry last year as soon as he arrived, yeah, that's exactly what you would expect a GM to do. You find out the market for him. You find out the market for Tannehill. Because remember, a year ago, it was still like, are they going to totally blow this thing up or not?
Yep.
You know, I heard actually D-Mace on Caroline Will and D-Mace talking about how he thinks Vrabel would still be here had they decided to do that, which is an interesting thought. You know, it's a rebuild year, and it's kind of starting over, and so you're not really being held to your record as much. It's an interesting thought, but that's the right thing to do. You also said the guy who drafted a guard, okay, I mean, he needs to be great. There's no doubt about that. And Levis, well, he might be good, and got rid of a local hero.
Byard.
Yeah, I mean, the Byard, first of all, as I said millions of times going back to the very first time, they did not handle it well with Byard. But I do get any new GM coming into a situation and saying, holy crap, that cap hit for a safety. And by the way, the Eagles are about to cut Kevin Byard.
Yeah. So, hey, maybe he comes back. Cheaper deal.
Good.
Welcome back. It's Kevin Byard. Welcome back in, Kevin. How we doing?
They do need safety help.
They do. There's no question about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. And Joey had this conversation a little bit earlier. Is there anything they can do? It's a huge week for them. They got Vegas tonight, L.A. coming up on Thursday, a back-to-back over the weekend with San Jose and Anaheim. Is there anything realistically they can do with the trade deadline coming up on March the 8th that would convince you that they should not sell? They're 2 points out of a playoff spot right now, and it really is kind of an interesting race because St. Louis is 2 points in front of them, who they beat on Saturday. Minnesota, with John Hines, is now tied with them. They have the same amount of points. Seattle, 1 point behind them. Calgary, 1 point behind them. So there's a four-team race of teams that are out of the playoffs right now that are right there with the Predators, and then you've got the Blues just in front of them. So how do you view this week for the Predators and where they are with the trade deadline discussions coming up on March the 8th?
Well, I just view it as basically I'm in the camp of as long as you're not buying, fine. But I feel like some selling is almost necessary regardless of what they do. And obviously, who are we talking about? Well, first of all, separate Saros from the discussion. That's a different thing. That's a potential thing that happens. That's a big deal, and that to me is only going to happen if Barry Trotz gets a return, you know, he's looking for, and maybe he has to adjust that a little bit at some point. But Tyson Barry, of course, that's been publicly obvious for a long time. And then you got some of these guys who are coming up as, you know, as RFAs and UFAs that you have to look at. And at this point, I think we're definitely going to look at more pretty significant churn for this roster from now to like next fall. So if you can pick up a little bit of draft capital doing it now, yeah, go for it. I mean, and then if this team makes the playoffs, makes a run, good for them, ahead of schedule. To me, it's gravy because this was never a year that you were putting all your eggs in this basket.
I think it's a really important stretch for them to remember the long-term plan and remember what it's ultimately going to take to get back into contention. And look, hopefully, if you're them, you look at what you've just done in the draft and you know the last few years of David Poyle's drafting, and you look at your young pipeline and you say, there are some answers coming our way. Like, there are some answers that we feel good about. They're going to be a long-term part of this core that are eventually going to be part of the process of getting back to being a cup contender. I also still think that you need to leave yourself, if you're Barry Trotz, enough room from a salary cap perspective and certainly enough room from an asset perspective to put yourself in a position where you can strike if a deal becomes available. Like, I think you have to continue to stockpile assets and give yourself trade chips, basically. Give yourself trade chips to, if somebody out there becomes available who is either unhappy with their situation or their time at that place is just running out, or they inform whoever that they're not signing there, you need to get yourself in a position where you can go and acquire one of these game-breaking, franchise-changing forwards. Because, again, you can draft well, and hopefully you can identify with your scouting department some guys in the draft a little bit later on, whether you're picking 12 or 14 or wherever it's going to end up being, that turn into be great players and turn into be all-star level players for you. But if it's not going to be one of those top-of-the-draft guys, you got to find different ways to bring in elite talent. And I think the more assets you can accrue for yourself, the better off you're going to be in the long term and positioning yourself to do that. So I think you got to remember that.
Still, yeah, and it's still, yeah, makes it. There's still no guarantee. It's hard.
Yep.
Everybody's looking for those guys, and I mean, how many? So that, like we talked earlier, you know, Matthew Tkachuk last summer and all the discussion and how he maybe was interested in here and everything, and or wait,
two summers ago.
Jeez,
time flies.
But how many? Roughly. How many guys like that are there in this league?
I mean, forward-wise, probably 8, 10, 12 that are realistic to get at some point. Like,
right.
You know,
yeah,
McDavid's not becoming available.
Right. But, I mean, I would still count him in the number. Like, sure. The number of just existing in the league. Yeah, around a dozen.
Yeah, 10, 12.
Yeah. So, it's hard.
It is.
So you can do that, what you said, and you still may not be successful, but you got to try every avenue, right? You have to look at every possible avenue. And at some point, you have to, like, even if it's a second half or middle of the pack, you have to make first-round picks that become difference makers.
And true difference makers, not like making your lineup and being able to hold on, but difference makers coming in and contributing and being a big part of what they do. And look, you know, it's a new regime now. You've got a new coach in Andrew Burnett, a new general manager in Barry Trotz. But I do think that there is a stigma that they need to break, and that is developing forwards to be really good forwards in the NHL.
Finding, right? And developing.
Finding is the first part. You're exactly right. Like, you have to identify the right talent, and you have to be able to work with your forwards to get them to the point where they can contribute in big ways. Like, I think about the history of this franchise and homegrown superstar-level forwards. Ain't a whole lot of them. Like, Philip Forsberg, he wasn't even drafted by you. Now, I would consider him homegrown because he's been here since he's 18, so that counts, I guess. But, you know, Arvidsson was like a fourth-round pick.
Yep.
You developed him. Kevin Fiala really has done most of his developing when he left your organization. You know, you've had Patrick Hornquist.
And that's a good pick, though, at least. Like, Fiala's a talented guy.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you had Patrick Hornquist, which you found was the last pick in the draft, who ended up being a really good player. But the list is not very long of, like, homegrown first-round pick guys that have developed into really, really good players. And that's got to change moving forward.
And even though it's a new coach and a GM, most of the rest of the infrastructure
is the same.
Yeah. So they've got to do better.
Well, they've got to do better, and I would hope that there is, like, from Barry Trotz's standpoint, some new ideas and kind of a new way of doing things, even if there is the same kind of foundation in stretch. Because obviously that's something that they've got to improve on if they're going to get back to being a Stanley Cup contender. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of the Preds, coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on the program. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. That's next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
It'll give and go.
Your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. An update in the standings in Preds Pick to Click. Rex Road and the listeners remain tied atop the standings with 12 correct answers. Nick Kieser somehow gets on the board in the 9-2 Dallas game with a Cole Smith prediction.
That's strong. So almost you get two for that.
He now is up to 8 points, and I remain in dead last with 4 points. 4 points behind Kieser in the competition.
So you double you to get to him, and you triple you to get to us.
And not very much time to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm in deep trouble in this competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Christian. Christian, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Well, good morning, fellas. Hope you're having a great day. I'm going to have to go with the popular pick this year. We're going to have to go with Phillip. We got to go with Scoresberg.
Tomasino?
Probably.
Yeah, that's right. No. Yeah, we're going to go with Scoresberg. See how that works out.
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate your call. So Forsberg.
I tried.
Off the board. You did.
I tried.
You tried. Nick Kieser, you're up first today. Forsberg is off the board. Your pick to click.
I've not gone with the typical top six. I'm going to continue that trend. He's back in Vegas. He was drafted by Vegas, their first pick. I'm going to go Cody Glass this evening.
Cody Glass, a selection. Joe, I am up next. I'm going to go Ryan O'Reilly as my selection. Forsberg, Glass, O'Reilly off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click.
Okay.
Luke Shen scored last game.
Thank you. That's a good point. Kieser's going there soon, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm expecting a Luke Shen pick from Kieser at some point here. How about Colton Sissons?
Ooh. Colton Sissons.
I see some people talking about Colton Sissons as a trade possibility.
I think he would be a very attractive option for a lot of teams out there, especially when you consider the contract and not very much money attached to it.
He needs two more goals to reach a new career high, so there you go.
He does. I think he's going to get there this year. Forsberg, Glass, O'Reilly, Sissons, the selections today at Preds Pick to Click. Preds back in action tonight taking on Vegas. Joe, we had a question from Nathan from Lawrenceburg on the text line asking about cap space the Preds will have in the offseason.
Yep.
Right now, according to capfriendly.com, they're projected to have around $25 million. $25.895 million is the projected cap space. Now, keep in mind, they got a lot of unrestricted free agents coming up. So, Trennan, Gurianov, Novak, Jankowski, Sherwood, obviously Tyson Barrie, Alex Carrier, Lankinen, there's a lot of unrestricted free agents that they have. So you're going to have to fill out a roster, and it's not going to be as simple as, oh, my goodness, they got $25 million of cap space. By the time you do all that and you bring back whoever you want to re-sign out of that group, you're probably going to be looking somewhere at the neighborhood of, 14, 15, 16 million, which is still plenty of room to operate with.
Whenever we kind of flip back and forth to talk like NFL and NHL, first of all, obviously the NFL is a soft cap.
Yep.
Which does exist. But the NHL, the numbers seem so low. You know what I mean? Oh, my God, that's awful. No, that's actually
pretty good. Yeah.
You can do a lot with that. So they've got the money, the cap space, to make a significant move. It's just, what would that be?
Exactly. And how much cap space, like when you start factoring in the projected space you have and the free agents that are there, how much, if you're Barry Trotz, do you want to fill out that roster next year of guys like, Kimmel, guys that are younger, cheaper in Milwaukee that don't cost you a ton, and kind of go that way and leave yourself some flexibility moving forward? I thought that would be more the approach this past offseason, and they were pretty aggressive in free agency. They got O'Reilly and Chen and Nyquist and Gurianov, and they were pretty active on day one. How active will they be this time around? It's not a great free agent crop again, so it's not really a great year to have all that cap space, so it doesn't mean you necessarily have to spend it, but they got plenty of cap space.
And that space, if they don't trade UC Saros and they extend him this summer going into the last year of his deal, then you're talking down the road, you're talking about eight or so that you're taking off that. That's why we talk so much about trading him.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.